Thank you very much. All right, brothers and sisters, we have had a spectacular service filled with so much. I will endeavor to get straight to the point. Why don't I pray and then we'll jump in. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way it speaks to all of us. And Lord, we pray now as we come before it that you might open our hearts and our minds to its message and its meaning, and we might be able to get heaps out of it as we think and read through it a bit more together now. Lord, we just thank you for this and pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, a great passage, isn't it? A beautiful passage, one perhaps you've heard before. I am the true vine. Jesus loves imagery. He uses it an awful lot in his teaching, doesn't he? He loves a parable. And what is a parable but a story filled with rich imagery to try and better help people understand a concept in a new way? Jesus often uses imagery in his teaching, and he often uses imagery in referring to himself as a way and a means for people to understand who he is. And in this passage, he gives us one of these great images with which to help us understand who he is and how we're to relate to him. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, he loves a good I am statement, doesn't he? He has many of them. I am the good shepherd. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." These are just from the Gospel of John. And every time he uses one of these I am statements, he often follows with a very kind of colorful imagery and description about who he is and what this Messiah character means for all those who are coming to believe. And John loves to include these imagery in his gospel and his retelling, more so perhaps than some of the other gospel writers, because he wants to attempt to flesh out this understanding of what Jesus is and what it means for us as his people to understand who he is. So this one of these great I am statements, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." The vine is imagery that was used in the time to represent the people of God. So if you were there in the day and you hear him say, "I am the true vine," you would know that he's actually referring to Israel or the people of God when he's referring to the vine. In the temple, this was the only picture I could find. It's not very helpful. But over one of the doors of the temple, there was a golden vine with grapes, right? To represent that in the temple, this is a place for the people of God. Early Jewish coins had vines, ripe fruit on them, representing the people of God. So if you were a first century person, you hear Jesus say these words, "I am the true vine," you know what he's talking about. He's talking about the people of God. And this imagery really fleshes out a bit of what it means for us to be connected to him, isn't it? It's really helpful in that way. You know, he tells us, "Remain in me." And you're like, "Oh, what does that mean?" Well, then he tells us, it's like, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." It gives you this great imagery of interconnectedness, doesn't it? We are connected to the vine. It gives you a feeling of dependency. The vine, the branches of the vine, survive because their lifeblood flows through the vine. If you cut a branch off the vine and it lands on the ground, it won't be long until it withers and dries up, of course. The vine is the one that provides. It is the one that gives us purpose. Jesus here makes a further statement. He doesn't just say, "I'm the vine." He says, "I am the true vine." Different from saying, "I am just the vine." But what he's saying is that in him there is something that is new and that is right, different from the old way, different from the old system, the old vine, the old law and sacrificial system. There is now this new vine that has come. And this new vine is the true vine. The old vine was planted in Israel and it grew from Israel. The new vine has gone out into all the world. And this new community will find its source of life from Jesus the vine. Let me look over a little bit of that passage again. I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All good and well. Jesus is the branch. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Great. Makes sense. Okay, we got it. But what then? Well, here's the what then. If you are to be a branch from the vine, then you must bear fruit. This is what it means to be in Christ, is to bear fruit that comes from the vine. An idea we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, that to believe is an active thing. It's a verb, it's a doing word, it's something that we do. It's not something that just passively happens to us as we sit back. But as we read here, if we say we believe in Christ, then we must bear fruit. And if we say we believe in Christ and we do not bear fruit, then like it says in verse 6, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown to the fire. And there's some imagery for you, hey? I'm talking about imagery. But let's take a little step back to the first couple of verses. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off the branches that bear in me no fruit. Jesus is laying out the situation quite clearly right here, isn't he? This is how the situation works. He is the vine. We are the branches. But his Father is the gardener. His Father is the one with the pruning shears, ready to do the work of pruning away what does not produce fruit in the body of Christ. Now, to me, it seems like we should pay attention to what comes next, because this seems like a pretty significant warning that's worth listening to. Brings us to our next question then. What does it mean for us to bear fruit? If it's an absolute must, the branches must bear fruit, what does that look like for us? Now, your first thought might be that it's about converts, bearing fruit, multiplying. And there's lots of imagery in the Gospels about that idea, going out and sharing the word. And John uses that same imagery for bringing new people to Christ in other parts. But here, I think it's different. Here, the connection that he makes between the fruit that comes from the branches and being God's people is about the love of Christ, isn't it? We had some of those great parts in the end of that passage about being commanded to love one another as I have loved you. The fruit in this passage here, as John explains it to us, is about having the love of Christ blossom in our lives. Have a look at verses 9 and then verses 12. As the Father is in me, so as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. No stronger language could be used for command than is used here. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you're able to, or if that other person's a nice person and it's not too much trouble, love them. No, the command for us is to love one another. The only command given in the book of John is to love. There's one other, and that's when Peter gets out his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and whips off the ears of one of the soldiers, and Jesus commands him to put his sword away. That's the only other command. This is the command that comes from the book of John: to love one another as I have loved you. Not a suggestion, not something that we can do if we're in the right mood, but if we are to be in the vine, if we are to be a branch that is growing fruit, the command is to love one another as I have loved you. Now, I know after this you might be feeling a little bit concerned or a bit uneasy because of this idea of, you know, the Father hovering above us with the pruners, right? You know, oh, geez, I haven't done the wrong thing today. Off I go and I'm off the branch. I don't think that's what's being referred to. I don't think that's what the imagery is leading us to. But I think that imagery is helpful. And I think it's helpful in a different way. For us to grow in the love of Christ, for us to bear fruit, there will be times when the Father will need to cut away the dead wood so that fruit may grow. You know what I'm talking about? I'm no gardener, and I'm sure there's some here, but often you will prune a plant and cut off branches and bits and pieces so that new growth may grow in its place. You will cut away the branches that aren't producing in the hope that what will grow in its place will bear fruit, will produce. And sometimes you might really hack a plant right down to the stump, hey, to produce new fruit, to give it a chance to spring new life. Well, what the imagery that is being brought up here too is of a father whom is looking at the vine as it grows and is going around pruning off the bits of dead wood, the parts of our lives that need to be pruned off so that new fruit may grow in its place. A story I heard a long time ago was about a man who tragically lost his son when his son was only a boy and did not take that loss well. Turned to drinking to deal with his grief, and of course that is never a good idea. Very soon he became an angry and bitter drunk, occasionally a violent drunk too. This, as the story goes, one night he was drinking at the pub and he comes out from the pub and he looks to the starry sky, and as he looks up, he thinks to himself, I wonder where my boy is tonight. And as quick as a flash, as soon as he'd had that thought in his head, a second thought came into his head, which was, wherever he is, you'll never see him unless you change your ways. That night, he gave his life to Christ. He went home, he found his whiskey jug where he had his home brew. He took it down to the river, he got in a boat, he rowed out to an island, he dug a hole, he buried it in the island, in the soil there, got back on the boat and rowed away a free man. Sometimes for something new to grow, the old has to be put to death. It has to be buried. Not just sitting in the backyard, but long gone. And there is something in that, I think, for us. There are many times in my life I can think of, as I look back particularly, where I can see the hand of God pruning away that dead wood so that something new might grow. Do you know what I mean? You know, like when I was a young teenager, well, I had the same problems that all young teenagers have, and there's the attraction of drinking and partying and going out on the Saturday and the Friday nights and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when I was still figuring it out, I wasn't too sure where I stood, and I often, you know, have these kind of panic attacks thinking to myself, I say I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I act it very much. And it came to a point in my life where I just went, like, no more. I'm not interested. I'm just done with that. You know, instead of going to the RSL on Friday nights, I went to youth group. I'm still there. But as in that process, it was a pruning, right? Because I lost friends. There was relationships that were lost. There, you know, I changed just the way I would spend my time and some habits and all that kind of stuff. But as I look back on that, I was like, oh, that was a pruning. That was God coming in and actually cutting off some dead wood. And that process was a bit uncomfortable at the time, and it was challenging. But what grew in its place was far better than what was lost. There will be many times in our life when the Father is there with the pruning shears, not to chop you off from the branch for good, but to actually cut off what is dead and what is in the way of new growth and new fruit coming through. He says in verse 7, if you remain in me and my word in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Really interesting verse, this one. Whatever you ask, it will be done to my Father's glory. Hey, what's he talking about there? Well, I think what he's saying is for those who remain in the vine, for those who are pruning away the dead wood so that the fruit of love might blossom in their lives, those who are leaning into Christ more and more in their lives, these are the ones who are seeing the works of the Spirit powerfully in their lives. These are the ones who are seeing the gifts of tongues and prophecies and healings. These are the ones who are seeing people come to faith, because apart from him, there is no fruit. Apart from him, no fruit can grow. And to those who are in him, these things will be granted. I think there's a great challenge in there for us, not just to be people that want to, you know, bear the fruit of love in our lives, but also recognize that in that there is this promise that God will partner with us in doing his work in this world. Two quick takeaways from it. Firstly, only through connection with the Father, connection with the vine, will all things be answered. And not all things like, you know, material things or successes in this world, but things of the kingdom, these will be answered. And secondly, to those who will ask. And I think sometimes that's where we fall down. Sometimes I don't think we're good at asking for the right things. Sometimes I think we don't pray for the right things. I feel like we should be a church that is praying more for fresh giftings of the Spirit amongst us. Because what do we need if we want to go out there and do the mission? We need the giftings of the Spirit that we might be able to do that. We need people to be empowered and encouraged by the giftings that God has given them to go and use those for the work of the kingdom. And he tells us if we ask these things in his name, they will be given for the glory of the kingdom of God and the glory of the Father. So let me just land the plane here. Ben, if you want to come back on stage. Do you want something fresh in your faith? Are you ready for something fresh? Are you ready for fresh fruit to grow in your faith? If you want something fresh in your faith, I want to encourage you in this last song and in the time afterwards to be prayerful about something fresh. I want you in this last time as well, perhaps even pray for a new gifting. Is there a new gifting or something that maybe has just been in the back of your mind or just resting at the bottom of your heart, but actually you haven't really put it to God? Pray for it, because he tells us that whatever we ask for will be given. Right? These are the things that will be given to the people of God. These are the things that will be given to the fruit-bearing branches of the vine. So let me encourage you in this time to respond to this word, respond to this beautiful imagery about God as vine and us as branches. By coming in before him in prayer and asking for fresh growth, for something new, for something fresh in our lives. Simon, could I ask you just to lead us in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll have our final song together.